The roll, please.
Councilmember Eugene Connors?
Here.
Councilmember Joan Hansen?
Here.
Councilmember Shirley Doughty?
Present.
Mayor Ronald Ertley?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Anna Klein?
Here.
Councilmember Douglas Dunn?
Here.
Councilmember Serena Sullivan?
Here.
City staff, Justin Johnson, City Manager, Ashley Coronado, City Clerk, Sharon Bono, Finance Director, Thomas Kleinbeck, Public Works Director, Britt Hansen, City Attorney.
Thank you very much. For the invocation, let us turn our thoughts to the people we have known during the last year or so who passed away and have a moment of silence. Thank you very much. Let us stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have two proclamations tonight, and I will read them. Then we have one announcement that will be made by the city attorney. This proclamation's Extra Mile Day. It's slightly outdated, but we can celebrate it tomorrow, too. Whereas the city of Bisbee is a community which acknowledges that a special vibrancy exists within the entire community when its individual citizens collectively go the extra mile in personal effort, volunteerism, and service, and whereas the city of Bisbee is a community which encourages its citizens to maximize their personal contribution to the community by giving of themselves wholeheartedly and with total effort, commitment, and conviction to their individual ambitions, family, friends, and community. And whereas the city of Bisbee is a community which chooses to shine a light on and celebrate individuals and organizations within its community who go the extra mile in order to make a difference and lift up fellow members of their community. And whereas the city of Bisbee acknowledges the mission of Extra Mile America to create 500 extra mile cities in America and is proud to support Extra Mile Day on November 1st, 2015. Now therefore it be resolved that I, Ronald Ertley, Mayor of the city of Bisbee, do hereby proclaim November the 1st, but we can celebrate it tomorrow too, 2015 to be Extra Mile Day. I urge each individual in the community to take time on this day to not only go the extra mile in his or her own life, but to also acknowledge all those who are inspirational in their efforts and commitment to make their organizations, families, community, country, or world a better place. Hear, hear. Second proclamation we have tonight is National Hospice Palliative Care Month. Whereas hospice and palliative care empower people facing a serious or life-limiting illness to live as fully as possible, surrounded and supported by family and loved ones, and whereas hospice and palliative care professionals are dedicated to helping diverse communities access quality end-of-life care and are committed to removing barriers to accessing care, and whereas hospice and palliative care bring patients and family caregivers the highest quality care delivered by an interdisciplinary team of skilled professionals that include physicians, nurses, social workers, therapists, counselors, health aides, and spiritual care providers, and others who make the wishes of each patient and family a priority. And whereas through pain management and symptom control, caregiver training and assistance, and emotional and spiritual support, allowing patients to live fully and make more meaningful moments until the end, surrounded and supported by the faces of loved ones, friends, and committed caregivers. And whereas each year hospice saves Medicare more than $2 billion by providing solutions for physicians, care to patients, and comfort to families anywhere at any time. And whereas every year more than 1.5 to 1.6 million Americans living with life-limiting illness and their families received care from the nation's hospice programs in communities throughout the United States, and whereas more than 355,000 trained volunteers contribute 16 million hours of service to hospice programs annually in the United States, and whereas hospice and palliative care providers encourage all people to learn more about the options of care and to share their wishes with family, loved ones, and their health care professionals, and now therefore be resolved that I, Ronald Ertley, Mayor of the City of Bisbee, Arizona, do hereby proclaim November 2015 as National Hospice Palliative Care Month and encourage citizens to increase their understanding and awareness of care at the end of life and to observe this month with appropriate activities and programs. Thank you. Now going to refer to the city attorney with an announcement.
Thank you, Mayor. I just thought the mayor and council would like to know that Police Chief Chavi and Lori Owen of my office have put together a mental health training for the Bisbee police officers on November 13th. It's going to be an all-day training. It'll be put on by Deanna Bellinger of Wellness Connections, and it's sponsored by NAMI, the National Alliance of the Mentally Ill. National Alliance on Mental Illness. Anyway, just thought the council would like to know. It's something that I know people in the community be concerned about, so we wanted to do something to help the police, to help respond to the people in need.
Thank you very much. Next, we are going to go to call to the public. We'll start off with Mr. Richard Green.
Hi, everybody. My name is Richard Green. I live at 603 Tombstone Canyon. I announced on social media today to wear yellow in solidarity with the virtual canary in the coal mine regarding climate change, catastrophic crony capitalism, and Wall Street collusion with Washington, D.C., and the too big to fail banks, and the perpetual war for profit schemes. I don't think anybody did, but oh well. I'd also like to thank Andy Heradic, the Public Works Manager, for increasing recycling and switching out the inefficient light bulbs. Also like to thank Arizona Department of Transportation for cleaning up the debris on the sidewalk today around the pit so people could walk around the pit safer. And the cars for giving me 5 feet when I was riding my bike down here today. I believe that's the state law states that it's 5 foot clearance. I filed a request for public records for the gas and diesel expenditures. Unfortunately, it didn't give me that in gallons. I'm wondering if we could possibly keep track of the gallons and add that as a separate column. It just gives us a better sense of what we're consuming and how to decrease that. It looks like, according to the data, that expenditures are going down. And I'm not exactly sure. Maybe the price of gallon per gas is the cause of that. Last year was $112,000 total expenditure, fuel expenditures, down from $136,000 last year. 2011 was $145,000. So it looks like we're going down. The police and the fire department are the largest users, except they've been going down. Last year was 57,000. 2011 it was 70,000. So I'm not exactly sure what they're doing there, but that's a good sign. Streets have more than doubled from approximately 13,000 in 2012 to 27,000 in 2014. We might look into limiting idling for the emergency vehicles because that is the number one expenditures in fuels is the police, and then followed by the fire. Let's see here. I also would like the city to draft a mayor's climate protection agreement just so it's in the record. I know you signed that in 2006, but there's not any paperwork to back that up with. And I'm also working on a draft petition that will address the city's $500,000 pension fund and ways to audit the state's local government investment pool, incrementally reducing investments in too big to fail banks, speculative banking, and banking linked to derivatives, and start investing in green mutual funds and exchange-traded funds. Start investing investigating the feasibility of starting a local bank and or state bank with other cities in Arizona. So not only will we be more secure from Wall Street crashes like in the 08 crash, but we won't support speculative banking markets, dangerous fossil fuel developments like fracking, tar sands, and offshore oil drilling. And I also encourage everybody to bank locally as possible and bank in credit unions where as possible. There's a new documentary coming out called The Price We Pay, and according to their statistics, there's $32 trillion in offshore tax evasions going on. So that'd be something we could limit too. All right, thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Richard Green. I believe that concludes call to the public tonight. Item number one, accounts payable. Do we have a motion?
I move that we pay accounts payable in the amount of $355,532.44.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve accounts payable in the amount of $355,532.44. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. Item number two, approval of the consent agenda, and I will read these. A, approval of the minutes of the work session of Mayor and Council held on October the 20th, 2015 at 5:30 p.m. B, approval of the minutes of the regular session of Mayor and Council held on October the 20th, 2015 at 7 p.m. C, approval of the resignation of Donna Pulling from the Community Sustainability Commission. D, approval of a special event liquor license application submitted by the Douglas Arts and Humanities Association, Incorporated, for an event to be held at 18 Brewery Avenue on Friday, November the 6th, 2015, and Saturday, November the 7th, 2015, from 4 p.m. till 12 a.m. Bruce Enders, applicant. E, approval of a special event liquor license application submitted by the Bisbee Radio Project, Incorporated, KBRP, for an event to be held at the Bisbee Royale, located at 94 Main Street, Bisbee, Arizona, on Thursday, November the 12th, Friday, November the 13th, Saturday, November the 14th, and Sunday, November the 15th, from 12 p.m. till 11:59 p.m. each day. Ryan Bruce, applicant. Do we have a motion?
I move that we approve the consent agenda items A through E.
Second.
We have a motion second to approve the consent agenda items A through E. Any discussion? No discussion. Ms. Coronado, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Connors?
Aye.
Councilmember Hansen?
Aye.
Councilmember Dowdy?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Quine?
Aye.
Councilmember Dunn?
Aye.
Councilmember Sullivan?
Aye.
Mayor Ertley?
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Item number three, public auction of designated surplus property located east of 534B Warren Hill. It has Joe Ward as the name there, but he's on vacation right now. We have two people signed up. It appears to me they are the people that may be wanting to purchase that particular piece of property. If you want to come up and speak, you're certainly welcome to, but we will go through that process very shortly.
I'll make this brief. My name is George Buhite. My wife and I own the property at 534B Warren Hill Street. I'd like to place a minimum bid of $1,838 for the parcel that's available. It's adjacent to the property we own.
Okay, we're going to go through a process in just a moment.
Okay.
We have another person signed up, Mr. McPartlin. Okay, well, let's go through the process.
Okay.
Then I'll discuss what's going on here. This is a public auction process. Was initiated by Mr. George Buhite, hope I say your name right.
Correct.
And Ms. Patricia Ware, and concerns 2,042 square feet of property located adjacent to their residential property. This is the time and place for the public auction of the designated surplus property located near 534B Warren Hill Street. The minimum bid is $1,838 or equivalent value. Do we have a bid?
Yes. I'd like to place that bid for $1,838.
Okay. Any other bids? No other bids. Do we have a motion?
I have a discussion. have a question.
Yes, certainly.
I'm sorry, I didn't get a chance to go up and look at this exact parcel, but I'm looking at it here on the map, and the parcel number one that's also adjacent with the large property just north of it, is that a park? Is that the pool park, or is that a private property?
That's a private property, is my understanding. It runs from this parcel all the way up to the highway. It's a relatively steep parcel, other than just the relatively small area on the top.
And so currently, that space that you're looking at acquiring, it's not a trail or any kind of easement or way to get through?
No.
It's just desert?
Cactus and oak, I guess. It is a pretty steep piece of property.
Okay.
I did go up and look at it some time ago, and it is fairly steep. A trail there, I don't think I would go up that trail.
Mayor, this comes with the recommendation of the Planning and Zoning Commission, so I move that we accept the bid from George Muheit and Patricia Ware in the amount of $1,838 for the property at 534B Warren Hill.
I second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor indicate by saying aye. Aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Buhite.
Item number four, public auction of designated surplus property located east of 536C Warren Hill. And we have one person signed up for that.
Mr. McPartland.
I'm here to bid on the land just above 536C Warren Hill. And I'm the homeowner of 536C Warren Hill.
Yeah. So I'm going to go through that same process again. This public auction process was initiated by Mr. Michael McPartland and concerns 2,280 square feet of property located adjacent to his residential property. This is the time and place for the public auction of the designated surplus property located near 536C Warren Hill Street. The minimum bid is $2,052 or equivalent value. Do we have a bid?
Yes, I bid $2,052 for the property.
Any other bids? No? Do we have a motion?
Yes, likewise, this is recommended by the Planning and Zoning Commission. I move we accept the bid from Michael McPartland in the amount of $2,052 for the property that's located east of 536C Warren Hill.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor indicate by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Mr. McPartland.
Thank you.
Item number five, discussion of possible approval of PACE Amendment number four to complete a simplified environmental report for the San Jose Wastewater Treatment Plant as requested by Washington, D.C., USDA-RD.
Mr. Tom Climax, City of Bisbee Public Works Director.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor, City Council, good evening. This is kind of an unusual circumstance. The environmental report that was originally prepared back in 2003 was submitted to the USDA Rural Development at the onset of the preliminary engineering report. We went to Phoenix. Our direct contact in Wilcox reviewed it. They thought it looked pretty good. So we actually got a change order back in the original contract. There was some time spent in doing research with the intent to originally do a full-blown environmental report. As it turned out, that wasn't the case. The folks in Phoenix said, hey, I think we can make this work. We'll get it through Washington, D.C., give the city a change order back of about $14,000. Once it got to D.C., D.C. looked at it and says, no, this isn't good enough. It's too long ago. It's 2003. We want you to go back to the drawing board and revisit this environmental report. So the folks at USDA Rural Development were kind of shy about coming back and saying, hey, you guys need to do this, but that's where we're at. We need to pretty much go back, and so it's not a matter of appeasing the folks in Phoenix, it's a matter of appeasing the folks in Washington, D.C. So what you're seeing here is a change order request. For the dollars that were still remaining in the contract that had yet to be spent, and the consultant in this case is Pace Engineering, and they believe that they can complete that report for the remaining dollars. And that's where we are.
Thank you. Any questions from the council? Do we have a motion?
I move that we approve the PACE Amendment Number 4 to complete the simplified environmental report for the San Jose Wastewater Treatment Plant as requested by Washington, D.C., USDA, RD.
Second.
We have a motion to second. Any other questions or comments? All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you.
Item number 5, discussion of possible approval. Discussion of possible approval for the City of Bisbee to enter into a contract with Southeast Arizona Government Organizations, also known as SEGO, to provide administration services of the 10 Town Street and Drainage Improvements as required by ADOH, Arizona Department of Housing Grant Application Handbook.
Once again, Mr. Tom Klimak, City of Bisbee, Public Works Director.
Thank you. What we're seeing here is our normal three-year cycle on the Community Development Block Grant Program. We went through the process back in October, November of 2014. It's been a long time. I mean, the year's gone by. And now we're eligible again to look at what we can do with Tintown. As you may recall, a couple of years ago, we did get a grant to do an overall drainage study for the Bakerville, Cochise Row, and Warren Ditch area, which is still subjected to significant flooding. And that's an ongoing project in that we'll continue to have to pursue grant fund monies. We're going to be looking at about $300,000 for engineering design because that's the stage that we're at. That it would be a state special project through the Department of Housing. It's really kind of separate from this. The only reason I'm bringing it up is that ADOH, Department of Housing, asked us why we would go to Tintown and switch courses from a big drainage study that we spent about $150,000 with a consultant. It was a grant of about $192,000 and change. We're refocusing because there's state special projects monies available, and because it's such a large project, it's a large design effort. So the $300,000, we would have to compete with other cities and towns throughout the state, okay, for that money. But I think it's worth a shot. Meanwhile, when we look at Tintown, that community is underwater just about every time it rains. So this community development block grant that's before you tonight, where we're looking to authorize SEGO to literally be the ball carrier in the application, continuation of the application, environmental report, and all the other line items that goes with it over the next 3 years. They've been a tremendous asset to the city, and they've done us a very good job all the way through. So, you know, I highly recommend that we do this. And it sounds a little bit like I'm rambling here, but these different grants are all kind of connected in that when you're shifting your focus, you have to be able to have some answers for these agencies when they're asking you why you're doing these things. This particular grant is kind of falls right into the normal cycle. Now there's another grant which we were just awarded or given notice this last week. It's a precursor to this grant. It's also for Tintown, and that is a drainage and green project where we're looking to capture runoff from the highway so it doesn't end up in Tintown putting people underwater. And then we're also looking to control that water, and this is a planning study. It's a big planning study for drainage because Tintown's literally sitting in a hole and there's nowhere for that water to go. So we're looking to control the water, and also the green aspect of this is a community garden where we have some local expertise from WaterWise that's going to help support that project. But that project will be, like I say, it's a precursor to this one because there's not enough money in this particular grant to do the appropriate amount of study that has to be done so that we can address it with further community development grant money down the road as the three-year cycles continue on. So, again, there's a lot of complications here, and there's a lot of connections at the same time. And so I think it's all good for Tintown, and I highly recommend that we do this tonight.
Thank you. If I get off topic, Mr. City Attorney, tell me. I do want to talk about Tintown and the role, the major role that our city public works director played in that. They have all new wastewater lines, and most of the streets out there have been chip sealed. So this is the next step in the process. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Yeah. As our conversation, you know, some time ago, these will be collecting ponds, and they then hopefully in the future could possibly be used for community gardens?
Yeah, the water would be treated and filtered, and then we're working with the Science Center at the University of Arizona so that they can evaluate the soil. You know, they'll be doing lysimeter testing and such, those kinds of things. And then they'll also be looking at crops, selection and rotation, and it'll be there for the community to use.
I personally just want to take this opportunity to thank you for the major role that you played in essentially the infrastructural renovation of Tintown. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Any questions? Councilmember Connors.
Thank you, Mayor. Hey, Tom, how we're going to enter into a contract with SIGO. Is it just a blanket contract? Are we paying it by the hour? Is it
no.
An X amount of dollars for the whole project?
It's pretty well mapped out. It's a multiple step-by-step. Each task has an assigned dollars to it. So what you're seeing is literally a building-as-you-go contract. I mean, they have to provide that service, or else we just don't get to the end of the job. So they're in this from day one all the way through. Now, I don't know if I answered your question, but it's not on an hourly basis. It's essentially lump sum items per task.
They're not inspecting. They're not going to. It's not their position to sign off on any of at the end of each task, is it? Is it still your job?
Well, they're really like I say, they're the ball carrier on this job.
And, SIGO.
And it's pretty common on most of these that you have these consultants. For example, Tintown. We had Westland Resources.
Yeah, I remember.
You know, where they basically are the go-between between us and the agencies.
Okay.
They want that middle person in right in the midst of what we're doing to make sure that, well, they're kind of like an insurance policy for ourselves as well as for the agency. They're checks and balance, essentially.
Thanks.
Any other questions or comments from the council? Councilmember Hansen.
Unless I misunderstood, you said that this money would not come out of the grant itself. It's something that has to be done prior to the grant, or did I misunderstand you?
Well, okay. It's a little tricky, I guess, in a way. What's happening in this specific contract right here? One of the very first items that needs to be completed is an environmental report. Okay. SIGO will do that for us, okay? And then once they present that to the agency, then the agency will approve our grant. See, what's happened is in the past, and it's true of all, pretty much most of these agencies now, Arizona Street was a good example. When we started doing that project, and I know I'm a little bit off focus here as an agenda item, but what happened there is the environmental approvals ended up dictating when that job was going to get done. All the work was done except the environmental work at the very end, and it took forever to get it completed. So now with all agencies generally across the board have put the environmental reports up front so that by the time we get to the end of the job and everybody else's work is complete, then the environmental work finally gets approved. But that's always been the tail wagging the dog, is the environmental reports. And it's still true today in ADOT. I mean, I had a conversation with those folks today, and they're telling me the same thing, that even though the environmental reports are supposed to be at the front end of these projects, they're still not complete, and they're holding up projects.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions or comments from the council? Do we have a motion?
I move to approve that the City of Bisbee enter into contract with SIGO to provide administration services of the Tintown Street and Drainage Improvements as required by ADOH Grant Application Handbook.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any other comments or questions?
I have one more.
Councilmember Sullivan.
Yes.
So if we do the environmental report and we sign this agreement, okay, if we assign the agreement with CIGO and they do the environmental report, we submit the grant, and then we don't get the grant, are we still bind to pay them this $27,000?
Yes, yes, yes. We're out the $8,000.
That doesn't seem quite like a very good idea. I mean, what makes you think that we'll definitely get it? You said we're competing against all these other cities.
No, no, that's a completely different project. That's a different project.
Well, I mean, that was one of the first things you said at the beginning, was that we were going to be competing.
We're competing for $300,000 on the Bakerville, Cochise Row, and Warren Ditch project, which is a major flood study. Mm-hmm. When I approached ADOH with this Tintown work, mm-hmm. they said, well, why would you go to Tintown when you just completed a major drainage study? That why can't you use the money for that? Why wouldn't you use this $212,000 for that? And I said, because Tintown's in more dire straits than most people realize. Plus, we've just completed a new sewer line, a new gas line, and a new water main. And the last thing that's really got that community in a stranglehold is the drainage. I mean, the drainage, again, was just tearing through our new wastewater, our new lift station site, and it was devastating the street system that we just put chip seal in, and it's tearing it up. And, you know, when we were going through the public meeting process with the folks in Tintown, they said it just seemed it would make more sense to us if you took care of our streets and our drainage as opposed to our sewer. Well, the irony there is the sewer is a health risk, and the drainage is something I guess you can just look for high ground and hope for the best. But really, they wanted to have both done at the same time, but the funding just wasn't available so that they could be done together.
Well, I totally sympathize with the fact that Tintown needs this drainage right away. I'm just asking, how do we know we're going to get the grant?
Well, we don't know, except that all I can say is at the state level, I think our chances are very good, because we have companion grants working together from two different state agencies. The Department of Housing is working with the Water Infrastructure Finance Authority, which again is another state agency, to fund completely two separate grants for the same community. And they are communicating with each other in Phoenix, and I really believe it's connected at the top. Hmm. We just came in number one on the state list of WIPA projects. There were over 50 submittals, and they shortlisted 12, and we were number one on that list. So I think the agencies hold Bisbee in high regard. And if we can't make this work, then I don't think anybody can make it work.
Mayor? City Manager, Mr. Johnson.
I guess one of the things, and I'll completely apologize for this as an oversight on my part. One of the things that hasn't been clarified is if there's budget capacity for it. So I'll ask, so Tom, in the budget, I don't remember us budgeting for this particular item, so that was kind of one of the things I just want to clarify, and that's completely my fault.
No, that's fine. That's a valid question. The $35,000 is outright grant money, okay? The additional funds on top of that are essentially cost in-kind services that we would provide as city staff. You with me on that?
Okay.
In other words, we're an integral part of what's going on. We're just not going to hand this project over to CIGO or anyone without us controlling it internally. We're taking this on. So, the things that we're looking at here is this happens to be $214,000 of complete money. There's no match in this. Okay? There's really no matching funds on our part. This is $214,600 is a total grant coming our way without any match. Now, if there's any work that needs to be done, we just do it within our staff. Like we do on all of our projects. I mean, we don't run any projects through the city.
Let me ask, is this a time-sensitive item? Because it might be one of those things that we may need to go back and just get some more information as it relates to, you know, the fiscal impact, because I understand that the staff is doing some of the work and Mayor and Council of Police are giving. This is, you know, completely my bad for not clarifying the fiscal impact of it. So is it a time-sensitive item?
Is it what?
A time-sensitive item that needs Mayor and Council's approval?
I think it's time-sensitive for SEGO because, you know, they want to get started on this so that they could get the project rolls right after the first of the year.
I have another question.
Councilmember Sullivan.
Are there any other organizations or contractors that would be able to do the environmental report and this whole reporting process? Or we? I mean, I totally trust SEGO, and I know Mr. Heiss is a wonderful director and everything like that, but just wondering what, you know, the bidding process or whatever is for that type of thing.
Yeah, I'll be perfectly honest with you. I think $8,000 is a steal for an environmental report. We've done them. They've cost as much as $20,000 to $30,000 to do an environmental report. In fact, the PER for the wastewater treatment plant, the one that we were just talking about previous to this, was $19,000. And that was just for the little wastewater treatment plant. So I think it's dollars well spent, and I think it's a great opportunity. I mean, I wouldn't present it to you unless I thought otherwise.
Mr. Klimak, let me ask, this grant process, does that involve the CDBG grants or not? Because yeah. I see it in the application review here.
Yeah, this is the CDBG grant.
Okay.
For $214,600.
And those come in, I wouldn't want to say automatically, but we get those, well, we used to get them every 2 years, we get them every 3 years now. Actually, it's moved up a little bit, right, from about 200 to about 212, 214?
Yeah, the last one was 192,000 and change.
And is it not true that SEGO essentially administers all of those that we've had?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so is this much different than what we have gone through before?
No, this is pretty much
cut and dried
process.
Yeah. And so I'm not sure what the reason for delaying this, I don't understand that, actually. Maybe somebody can help me out.
Well, the manager's saying that we may not have money in our budget to afford the $27,000.
I presume that would come out of the CDBG grant funding. Is that correct,
yeah,
Mr. Klimak?
That grant is rolled in. It's,
yes.
But, however, there is a risk. But I think the risk is extremely low.
Well, we've had those risks every 3 years or in the past every 2 years. Would that be correct? That risk always exists.
Yeah, I mean, we do these environmental reports every time we do one of these.
Right. And so as you state, and which I believe to be true, the risk is extremely minimal.
I believe so, yes.
Okay. But council needs to decide that. Any other?
Well, I'm totally confused now.
Okay.
You said that originally that this has to be done prior.
The environmental report is the very first task to be done before the grant will be awarded.
Right. So where is that money coming from?
Well, right now it's intended to come from the grant. Okay.
So you don't have to pay it up front?
No. No.
And so once it's completed, it would be paid out of the grant?
That's correct.
So the city is not...
The only way
is not a source of revenue for this whole project.
No.
Okay.
Unless the environmental report is not approved. That's the point that Councilwoman is making here is that
if the report isn't approved,
if the report was not approved, and they did the work, we would be on the hook to pay the $8,000.
I was asking if we'd be on the hook for the full amount of the $27,000.
No.
Oh, okay. No, I was asking, that's what I was wondering, is if the environmental report doesn't get passed and we don't get the grant, then are we still out for the full $27,000?
No.
Okay.
No.
Well, that was my initial question.
And the other thing is we don't have any money in the game. It's all
right.
It's all state money. Well, federal money. It's routed through the state.
Okay.
Okay.
I think I understand that.
Okay. I hope I didn't make it too complicated.
Well, no, there were so many different moving parts, and I was getting confused with the questions. And
yeah, it's...
It doesn't take much to
confuse
me.
Yeah, okay.
Any other questions or comments? Do we have a motion?
It's already on the floor.
I already made the motion.
I move that we approve for the city of Bisbee to enter into a contract with Southeast Arizona. Was there more comments?
It's already on the floor.
I've already...
Oh, excuse me. I never mind. I should have wrote a big M there, but I didn't. We have a motion and a second to approve that the city of Bisbee enter into contract with SEGO to provide administration services of the 10-town street and drainage improvements as required by ADOH grant application handbook. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Climac.
Thank you.
Item number 7. Discussion and possible approval of the Cochise County Public Safety Mutual Aid Agreement. Mr. Justin Johnson, City Manager of the City of Bisbee.
Thank you, Mayor. Members of the Council, what you have before you is a mutual aid agreement with Cochise County for services related to emergency management. Whenever we have issues that we may not be able to handle and we need additional support, we rely on Cochise County, you know, issues such as, you know, reliance on the sheriff's office or incident command, anything of that nature. It's a 5-year agreement. It has been reviewed by the city attorney's office, and it's just here for your approval.
Any questions from the council? No questions from the council. Do we have a motion?
I move to approve the Cochise County Public Safety Mutual Aid Agreement.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the Cochise County Public Safety Mutual Aid Agreement. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. Item number 8, discussion of possible approval of a transportation letter of support for SEGO. Once again, Justin Johnson, City Manager, City of Bisbee.
Thank you, Mayor. At the most recent City of Sierra Vista Tech Transportation Advisory Council meeting, the request was made by Chris Vertrees to provide SEGO with a letter of support for exploration of a bus route that would go from the city of Douglas, Bisbee, to Sierra Vista. So you have a draft letter, form letter for your review and approval, and so that's what this is before mm-hmm. you. So I know this has been something that's been discussed for quite a while, and you know, so we're here again trying to figure out there's some validity to.
Councilmember Connors.
Thank you, Mayor. If is somebody going to need to be paid for doing this?
Yes, someone will, but it's actually grant funds from okay. the Arizona Department of Transportation. So that's what this is. It's a grant application that they are preparing.
Thanks, Mayor.
So that ADOT can provide funds.
Any other questions or comments? Do we have a motion?
I move that we approve a letter of support on behalf of SEGO's 2015-5304 Planning and Research Grant Application.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve a letter of support on behalf of SEGO's 2015-5304 Planning and Research Grant Application. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. Item number 9, discussion and possible approval of Resolution R-15-14 containing a Bill of Rights for the Homeless. This was placed on the council agenda by council members Connors and Sullivan, and at this point in time, I will defer to either and or both of them.
Thank you, Mayor.
Yeah.
I was moved. I was moved at the meeting when Mr. Dorfey was speaking to us about other communities around the United States that for some reason or another decided they need to articulate human rights for homeless people. Some people think that this is a special, we're making, you know, a special accommodations or this Bill of Rights for the homeless, and I believe that the people that make that comment have no idea what it's like to be not part of. So I have encouraged Ian to come to talk to me more and also come to the meeting tonight, and I want to put this out. I want to see how we stand as a body together on homelessness in the Bisbee. It'll be interesting. Anyway, I'd like to let Ian Dorfe.
Oh, I'm sorry. I did have two speakers. Sorry about that.
I'd like to just turn it over to him if he is one of them, I think. It'll be nice to hear it from his well-researched point of view.
Okay. I have two things here. I have an item I want to speak on, and also a letter that I'd like to read from Tony Badola at the homeless shelter. He was unable to be here this evening, but he sent me a letter. My name is Ian Dorfe. On October 6th, I came before this council to petition for a homeless bill of rights. Absent from the list of rights is the right to sleep. All human beings require sleep daily in order to maintain physical and psychological well-being. I left this basic human right out for fear that it would not be granted. I am calling for inclusion of this right now as a measure of our humanity. If we cannot enshrine the right of the homeless to sleep, a right we would never deny to anyone else, then we have failed to understand our purpose in living. Our highest purpose in life is to improve the world around us. For the last 25 years, the homeless have been subjected to the policy of broken windows policing, the idea that minor crimes lead to more serious crimes. The result has been that the homeless of the United States are cited for littering, loitering, camping, jaywalking, and begging. The practice of sleep deprivation has been utilized as a tool by such cities as Santa Cruz, California, and Ashland, Oregon, to displace the homeless. Fines are levied in excess of the destitute human being's ability to pay, and though the homeless migrate to other towns or counties, it is only to be replaced by a new group of homeless legislated out of another town. On August 6, 2015, the Department of Justice filed a motion against the city of Boise, Idaho, on behalf of three homeless persons ticketed by the city for camping against the city's camping ban. The motion states that criminalizing public sleeping in a city without adequate shelter space constitutes criminalizing homelessness itself in violation of the Eighth Amendment. Therefore, punishing someone for being homeless is now considered to be cruel and unusual punishment. On September 18, 2015, the federal government began enforcement of this position by requiring HUD continuum of care applicants requesting HUD money to house the homeless to describe how they are reducing criminalization of homelessness. Granting this and the other rights requested does not mean that homeless persons are not still subject to laws governing appropriate conduct or crime, just as with any other citizen. The intent here is to, in fact, ensure that the homeless are treated equal to any other person. Other people have the right to privacy, to not face discrimination in employment, to vote, and to sleep. All human beings should have the right to sleep because sleep is a need and not a desire. Thus, it is my hope that it is not too much to ask that the city also recognize this basic need as a right worth supporting by which we measure our humanity. And from Tony Badola, and he had misunderstood my request and address this to the homeless task force rather than the city council, but it's the contents of the letter that matter. As the director of the Bisbee Coalition for the Homeless and as a member of this wonderful community, I feel it is important for me to bring your attention to the reality of providing a warm, safe place for everyone and anyone to find rest and comfort. While it is a reality that each of us is entitled to and for obvious reasons must do, the fact is that not all of us are afforded such luxury. We at the shelter try to do our part when it comes to offer as many as we can a safe place to rest, relax, and most of all sleep, but in actuality, even we fall short. While we are moving forward to offer even more of the population a place to eat, relax, and sleep, The truth is we still don't do enough, and I have outlined below those we cannot offer a place to shelter. Someone who is intoxicated. We don't have the manpower to do so. Sometimes they are disruptive and cause disorder for our other guests. While we are looking for a way to address this, the reality of today is that we do not offer shelter or a way to sleep off their intoxication. Women, we are currently just a men's shelter. While we should be able to offer women shelter in the not-so-distant future, the truth is we can't now. Children, families, and couples, again, as stated above, we can only house men. And while we are making progress in this endeavor, we cannot house families or children. As we move forward, I hope that we are able to find solutions in this sector of our population. I've included here, I'm just going to give this over. I've included a planning checklist for ending homelessness for people living in encampments that falls in line with the things that I have spoken about here. It comes from the United States Interagency Council on Homelessness.
Any questions from the council? No? Thank you, Mr. Ian Dorfey. We also have Donna Pulling signed up.
Thank you, Mayor. Donna Pulling. I live in Bisbee, and I am here on behalf of myself as a member of the task force, and all of the task force members, which are in the number of approximately 36 people right now, have received this Bill of Rights. Everyone has agreed that it is something that we are moving forward towards recognizing the need for a cultural awareness of the human rights of homeless people. So I do support this Bill of Rights. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna Pulling. Any other comments or questions from the council?
I have a question.
Councilmember Klein.
This question is for our city attorney. The way this is written, to me it's almost like we're giving an okay. Pretty much like the issue that they were dealing with in Tucson as far as people in the parks and sleeping on the sidewalks and things of this nature. In our code, don't our parks close at 10 o'clock in the evening?
Let me answer your question in two parts. First is, to make this an enforceable law, you'd have to treat it, first of all, as an ordinance and go through the ordinance process, which this has not. So as a resolution, this would be a statement of symbolic importance for the council rather than enforceable law. If either of the council members who brought forward the resolution would like to do it as an ordinance, they would have to go through the ordinance process. So it won't have force of law. This is would be a symbolic statement because it's in the form of a resolution. As to the juice on my laptop went out, so I don't have it up. So I'm looking at Mr. Johnson's. I saw that there was the right to freely move through public spaces, but I didn't see anything, at least in the draft that was presented to the council, about sleeping in public spaces. Mr. Duarte just brought that up at the podium, but it's not in the draft before you. That would, and I'm not, he said a right to sleep. He didn't say a right to sleep in public places, so you really need to flesh that out if you really wanted to understand what the intent was. But the right to vote, register to vote, that kind of thing, that would be, there's a right to do that now anyway. And it could go through item by item, but anyway, this would be a symbolic vote if you brought it back as an ordinance, and we'd have to parse through some of the question that you just asked. I don't really think you need to do it for this today because it's in the form of a resolution, not ordinance.
Councilmember Hansen.
On that first paragraph, it says to have the right to move. The right to move freely in public spaces, including, and it goes on, in the same manner as any other person, and without discrimination on the basis of his or her housing status. So if the park closes at 10, nobody's going to be in there. So they would have to abide by the same laws. That's the way I read it.
Any other questions or comments from the council? Do we have a motion?
Yes, I would like to approve the resolution R-15-14 containing a Bill of Rights for the homeless.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any other comments or questions? No? Ms. Coronado, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Connors?
Yes, aye.
Councilmember Hansen?
Aye.
Councilmember Dowdy?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Klein?
Aye.
Councilmember Dunn?
Aye.
Councilmember Sullivan?
Aye.
Mayor Early?
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Item number 10. I consulted with the city attorney on items 10, 11, and 12, and so what we are going to do is, to save time and running around, we will go through each one of these particular items and pass or not pass them. So we'll start with number 10. Discussion and possible action regarding a set... Let me stop just for a second. Let's move the city manager's report up above that because I don't know how long we'll be gone.
Sure. Thank you, Mayor. One of the things the only thing I had to bring up for you all is the possibility of a work session, budget work session that we were trying to get together, looking at December 8th. So the possibility, I'm not sure if you all are interested, maybe it might be a good time to do your town halls and get some feedback and input in preparation for a possible workshop on December 8th. And that's all I have.
Okay.
Okay.
The subject is?
Budget.
Budget. Subject, okay.
Item number 10, discussion of possible action regarding a settlement agreement between Freeport MacMoran and the City of Bisbee for damaged roads pursuant to ARS 38-431.03A3 and A4. The City Council may vote to go into executive session for legal advice with the attorneys of the public body or discussion or consultation with the attorneys of the public body in order to consider its position and instruct its attorneys regarding the public body's position regarding contemplated litigation or in settlement discussion conducted in order to avoid or resolve litigation. Do we have a motion?
I move that we enter into executive session pursuant to ARS 38-431.03A3 and A4 in order to privately discuss and consult with our attorney about contract matters concerning the settlement agreement.
Second. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay. Motion passes unanimously. Item number 11, discussion of possible approval of a motion to go into executive session for the discussion of the employment evaluation of City Manager Justin Johnson pursuant to ARS 38-431.03A1. The City Council may vote to go into executive session for discussion or consideration of employment, assignment, appointment, promotion, demotion, dismissal, salaries, disciplining, or resignation of a public officer, appointee, or employee of any public body. Do we have a motion?
I move to go into executive session to discuss the employment evaluation of City Manager Justin Johnson per ARS 38-431.03A1, discussion or consideration of employment, assignment, appointment, promotion, demotion, dismissal, salaries, disciplining, or resignation of a public officer, appointee, or employee of any public body.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay. Motion passes unanimously. Item number 12, discussion of possible approval of a motion to go into executive session for the discussion of the employment evaluation of City Clerk Ashley Coronado pursuant to ARS 38-431.03A1, the City Council may vote to go into executive session for discussion or consideration of employment, assignment, appointment, promotion, demotion, dismissal, salaries, disciplining, or resignation of a public officer, appointee, or employee of any public body.
Do we have a motion?
I move to go into executive session to discuss the employment evaluation of City Clerk Ashley Coronado per ARS 38-431.03A1. Discussion or consideration of employment, assignment, appointment, promotion, demotion, dismissal, salaries, disciplining, or resignation of a public officer, appointee, or employee of any body.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor indicate by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. We are now in executive session.
Mr. Mayor, before we retreat, I just thought it might be helpful to clarify for the press and the public that each of these executive sessions, excuse me, is on obviously different subject matter. They'll be treated separately, and if there's any legal action following any of these individual executive session items, the mayor and council will come back out and do that in open session. So,
thank you.
Come out of executive session.
I second.
We have a motion and a second to come out of executive session. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay. Motion passes unanimously. We are now out of executive session on item number 11. I make a motion to approve the settlement agreement with Freeport Minerals in the amount of $133,000 in regards to damage done to streets during the Bisbee Soil Program.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any conversation? All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay. Motion passes unanimously. We have a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to adjourn. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. This meeting is adjourned.